This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
Let's look at scripture real quick. Let's read this out loud together. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. And be thankful. That's the title of this message today. Have you noticed that people are not really very good at saying thank you and actually being thankful? And if you're observant, you'll discover that an attitude of ungratefulness is almost always followed by deterioration or degeneration. And one of the most common causes of ungratefulness is the absence of God in your life. For you see, without God, the progression is no acknowledgement of God, ungratefulness, degeneration, unholy life, and death. Sometimes physical death, sometimes psychological death caused by substance abuse or alcoholism, but it always results in spiritual death. And sadly, we see it all around us. Now, in the Bible, there's a scripture that says, in everything, give thanks. And I think we can all agree that it's human nature to be thankful for what's good, but in everything? Come on. Who could possibly do that? And why should we? Why would the Bible tell us to give thanks in everything? And I think the answer may be a little easier to understand when we remember that God loves us and he wants to have fellowship with us. And since God is holy, and since we are not, it's really impossible for that to happen. It's not possible for us to even be in God's presence. Therefore, since he really does love us, he has provided a solution. He's provided a way for us to be with him. For you see, with God, the progression goes like this. Acknowledging God, which leads to gratitude, followed by regeneration, which produces holiness and results in life. Have you ever thought of gratitude or thankfulness being the catalyst that moves us in the direction of holiness, which then enables us to enter the presence of Almighty God? See, it begins with an attitude of gratitude. I read that Matthew Henry, the Bible commentator, he was mugged one night. And later he wrote in his journal, he said, "Let me be thankful, first, because I was never robbed before. Second, although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, although they took my all," it wasn't much. "And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not the guy doing the robbing." Wow, what an amazing attitude. I mean, this guy gets robbed and finds not only one, but he finds four things to be thankful for. Now, let me add here quickly that giving thanks to God in difficult times should not ever be confused with giving God thanks for difficult times. You know, we're not to thank God for the tragedies and troubles caused by the sin and disobedience of fallen humanity. We are, however, to thank God in our circumstances. But that's not the only lesson. I mean, we must also recognize there's always something to be grateful for. And this gratitude that I'm talking about right now, this is such a powerful witness. For example, when non-believers, they see Christians rejoicing over good health and prosperity, hey, they want those things too. However, when non-believers see Christians rejoicing in times of suffering and need, that's when they want our God. Now, before we go on, I want to share a principle that is ignored. It's noticeably ignored in our world. And here it is. When you think you deserve what you don't have, you remove any potential for gratitude. You see, if you think you deserve what you don't have, when you finally get it, instead of saying, oh, thank you, you'll say, hey, it's about time. Right? I should have had it already. There's no grateful attitude. And this becomes pretty important when we realize that gratitude is the very basis for joy. You see, the principle is this. No gratitude equals no joy. Have you ever wondered why you no longer have the joy you used to have? Hey, maybe it's because your expectations have changed. See, one of the greatest lessons we can learn in life is it's not happy people who are thankful. The reality is it's thankful people who are happy. Now, I can just imagine some of you saying, well, if that's true, what are some of the things we should be thankful for? Well, for one, we should be, how about being thankful for the incarnation of Jesus Christ? Thankful that God was revealed. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 continues and says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, that means the Word was Jesus. So the first verse could read, in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. That verse is written wrong up there. It's supposed to say, word was, get that with out of there. Okay. By the way, this is a great verse to use if you're ever trying to prove the deity of Christ. Okay, another thing to be thankful for is our inclusion into the family of God. When we were born the first time, we were born of our earthly parents. But if we've been born again, we've been born of the Spirit, and God Himself has become our Heavenly Father. I used to tell, it's so good seeing some of you. Mike Abel's out here, and Terry, we have a history that goes back a long time. Many of you have been through the Discovery Series. Well, there's one of our first Discovery leaders right there. And they're still going to church. It's kind of cool. But we are, man, Mike, you and I don't care what the rest of our family does. You know Christ, I know Christ. We've got a relationship that's going to last forever. We are brothers and sisters forever. Amen? It's a closer relationship than you can have on the earth. Now, the third thing we should be thankful for is the inheritance of the saints. That's a reward that cannot be earned. As I'm sure you know, an inheritance is a gift that can be given because someone else did something. You see, I don't get an earthly inheritance by being energetic. I may, however, get an inheritance because my grandfather was. And in this case, my inheritance is a gift that's available because of what Jesus Christ has done. And we should be grateful. Amen? But Pastor, you ask, just how grateful should we be? Well, I'm going to answer that question with another question. Have you ever considered how much a billion is? I mean, before you use that word ever again, you may want to consider just what an exaggeration a billion is. A billion is 1,000 millions. A billion seconds ago, it was 1987, and Ronald Reagan was the president. A billion minutes ago, Jesus' disciple, John, he was still alive. McDonald's had sold nearly 300 billion hamburgers, and that's over 100 pounds of meat. Let's suppose you run a used camel business, and beginning in 1 AD, you began to lose $1,000 a day. Every day, you lost $1,000. Well, listen, you would have to continue to lose $1,000 a day for another 717 years until the year 2738 in order to lose your first billion. Okay, let's talk about the national debt. The government spends $18 billion every day. The U.S. government is in debt for over $26 trillion now. That's with a T, trillion. That's 26,000 billions. That is 26 million millions. Now tell me, is that big? Yes? Well, the debt we owe Jesus is even bigger. The debt we owe him, beyond measure. Not even 26 trillion thank yous would be enough to repay him. But a life of gratitude, that would be a good start. One Sunday, a man stood at the front of the church congregation, and he humbly announced that he and his wife wished to donate $5,000 toward the new church building in memory of their son who'd been killed in Afghanistan. And in the rear of the room, a woman nudged her husband and quietly whispered, "Honey, let's do the same thing." "Why?" he answered. "Our son wasn't killed in Afghanistan." And she replied softly, "Yes, I know." Are we truly thankful for the price we did not have to pay? Are we remembering to be thankful for the price that Jesus did pay? Once again, I want to read one more scripture with you. Let's read Luke 17. Together. Can we do this? Let's just read together. In case you see, you might not have ever read the Bible today. You might not have ever read the Bible ever. I don't know, but now we're going to do it. Here we go. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, "Praise God!" He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" September 1st, 1923, the strongest earthquake ever recorded devastated Yokohama, Japan. More than 200,000 people were killed. 2.5 million people were left homeless. When within days, their food, clothing, medicine began arriving from the United States. We went to the aid of those victims of the disaster. And over the next 6 months, more than 150 ships arrived from America, unloading all the necessary materials to rebuild the destroyed city. Hirohito, the emperor of Japan, sent a personally handwritten note to President Coolidge, and the note ended with these words, "The people of Japan thank you. The people of Japan will never forget." But the Japanese people did forget. It was less than 18 years later, on a quiet Sunday morning, December 7th, 1941, that a Japanese Imperial Navy attacked America installations in Hawaii. And the name Pearl Harbor has stood for treachery and betrayal ever since. Listen, one of the reasons for giving thanks is to help us not forget. The Japanese, no more than any other group of humankind, forget. We all have a tendency to forget. We sometimes forget the kindness shown by others, and we all tend to forget the favor of the Lord. And Jesus knew we were a forgetful people. And that's why on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and the cup, and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And this morning we have the privilege of obeying the Lord. We have the privilege of remembering the Lord by partaking of Holy Communion. And in doing this, we're remembering the price the Lord Jesus paid for us. And we're saying, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.